This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be visiting with Lexi Kaiser. Lexi is a brilliant journalist at Becker's Healthcare. She joins us regularly to talk about what stories she's watching closely. Lexi, I'll tee it up and you take it away. What are some of the things you're watching closely? What are the big stories you're following closely now?
Sure. Thanks again for having me, Scott. One thing that I've been watching the past couple of weeks with some leaders on our CEO team at Becker's Hospital Review is what we noticed appeared to be an uptick in abrupt CEO exits. So, you know, that weekly we round up big CEO moves and exits from the industry, whether that's retirements, resignations, somebody going from one company to the other. And from our perspective, it appeared that there had been a lot of activity in that sector where we were seeing people just leave more suddenly than they used to, more exits than necessarily straight moves. So we reached out to a couple of consulting and executive search firms, Korn Ferry and Witt Kiefer, to see if there was any merit to this observation that we had made. And it turns out that yes, they also noticed that there has been an uptick in abrupt CEO exits, and were able to shed a little bit of light on why.
And tell us what's driving it, because I certainly, as I talk to CEOs day in, day out, even though 2023 was a better year financially for many systems, I would say a ton of mid and small size systems are still finding it incredibly challenging. You could hear it in the discussions with, and also the amount of layoffs that are still going on among small and mid-sized and even larger systems. But tell us what you're hearing and what you're seeing.
Certainly. So one thing that Donna Padilla told me, she's the executive partner and healthcare market leader at Witt Kiefer, and she said that there certainly has been more activity in this area. There have been more abrupt exits, but not to be hasty with assigning all exits as abrupt just because they appear that way. She says that oftentimes there's sort of a lame duck phenomenon that occurs when a CEO plans to retire at the end of the year, and their organization might sort of keep a lid on it until they have a clear succession plan, and hope to announce that, you know, towards the end of the year, closer to the planned retirement. But when the CEO realizes they have 9 months to sit and wait, they decide, well, we should just bring in the new person, especially if it's an internal successor. They'd rather just have somebody come in and take that spot than wait until their initial time, if they do have the plan in place. And while that can feel really abrupt to the market, and to those of us who are unfamiliar with the inner workings of that health system, it's not really so abrupt to the system. But there are cases still, Ms. Padilla said, in which exits are truly abrupt. And some of that is crisis circumstances that we've always seen. People needing to move closer to family, people having illnesses come up that they can't control. And so those circumstances we can't anticipate do play a role. But there are also some things going on that might be more specific to our current moment, one of them being burnout. And especially in this post-COVID space, a lot of CEOs are beginning to take a little bit more time to reflect as they get out of that immediate crisis mode that the pandemic brought. And as they're forming their next 5-year or 10-year strategic plan, or they're entering a merger, which we see with a lot of health systems right now, they're starting to question if they really do have enough gas in the tank to see that plan or that merger through. And they're wondering if it might be better to bring somebody new in, which may also seem abrupt to boards and to the community because perhaps that CEO didn't initially plan to step down. Something else that Ms. Padilla brought up, or actually Jenna Abernathy brought up, she works with Korn Ferry as the senior client partner specializing in executive search. And she said that we've seen a lot of new CEOs, a lot of first-time CEOs in the role, and that could also be contributing to this abrupt exit scenario that we've witnessed. Oftentimes, the role has a bit of a honeymoon phase. You know, it's very exciting. It takes a lot of work to be promoted to the role of CEO, but it's not all CEOs are 100% prepared for that when they step into it for the first time. So they might be realizing that it's not a good fit. They might be filling seats that were left by really strong, longtime CEOs who had postponed their retirements through COVID. And that shock to the organization might lead to an abrupt exit if it's just not the right fit.
I mean, that's fascinating too, how many people end up in the role and find, I mean, it takes a lot of introspection to finally get to that career crucible and decide that it's not for them, that this is just not the job they really want. And do we have a sense of how many of these are CEOs deciding to leave versus systems deciding to ask CEOs to leave, or it's hard to tell?
It is hard to tell. Oftentimes we hear that a CEO made the choice to step down. Sometimes we do hear in a news release that it's a mutual decision, but there is a lot of secrecy that surrounds CEO exits, especially when there is some kind of internal turmoil that might lead to that exit. So it's difficult to classify for sure. What we do know is that, you know, over the past couple of years post-COVID, we saw a lot more retirements. People who had initially planned to retire in 2020 decided to stay through 2021, 2022, and stepped down in 2022 and 2023. And now we're seeing a little bit less of that. We're seeing more exits that are surefire exits and not just planned retirements.
Certainly, and the CEO job remains, all the jobs are stressful. The CEO job remains a very, very stressful job and a very challenging time for healthcare still, I assume.
Certainly. I've been speaking with CEOs and leaders who work with CEOs about burnout and just how prevalent that is in this industry. Spoke on the podcast a couple of weeks ago about that with Grace. And there is just so much pressure on CEOs right now from all sides of the health system. They need to satisfy the needs of clinicians who are struggling so much with understaffing and support roles and requesting higher compensation that they might not always be able to provide based on pressures from the board and their financial teams. So CEOs have this really unique squeeze in every direction, but they also sort of have to be the figurehead of the organization. They're not really allowed historically, traditionally, to be able to say, hey, this is a lot. Like, I need another day to think about it. And so in my conversation with Ms. Padilla of Wickkeeper, she said that that could be another reason that we see more exits, you know, towards the end of the year, is people go home, they have conversations with their families, they actually talk about how they're doing and feeling, which CEOs don't get asked a lot. And then they realize that it might be time to step back, take on a new role and do something new.
Thank you, Lexi. I think this issue of CEO turnover, CEO transition, some of it happening more abruptly than it used to, is fascinating to watch. I think to me, as I talk to CEOs, as you talk to CEOs, it seems like sometimes a reflection of just the stress involved in the business today. Other times, you're right, it's a lame duck CEO that decided, you know, better to move this along than stay a lame duck CEO. I think that's a really well taken point as well. Lexi, anything else you want to share with us today on the Becker's Healthcare Podcast?
Sure. I'll briefly talk about a joint venture that was pretty interesting that came out of St. Louis and was really popular in our Hospital Review newsletter this week. I'm from St. Louis, so especially exciting to me. But BJC Healthcare and SSM Health, two really large health systems in the St. Louis area servicing Missouri, have formed a joint venture to build and operate a laundry facility. So they're expecting this facility to open in mid-2025, and BJC owns a warehouse in the Soulard neighborhood of St. Louis that they'll be operating it out of, and it's expected to launder 35 million pounds of linens between the two every year. They also strategically placed this warehouse, this laundry facility, in that Soulard neighborhood because it's traditionally under service. There's not as many jobs. It's not quite as built up as some other areas of St. Louis and the suburbs. And so they're hoping that the 80 benefits eligible jobs that this venture will create will in turn improve health equity in the system and help to reduce disparities in the area, just because more people will have jobs and the ability to provide for themselves and their families.
Well, fantastic, nice to hear coverage of the St. Louis news and St. Louis stories as well, and two great health systems. Lexi, always great to visit with you on the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I hope that doesn't mean you'll be cheering for the St. Louis Cardinals this year, but if it's okay
always.
If you do. Always. There you go. There you go. Thank you for joining us today on the Practice Healthcare Podcast. Always great to visit with you, and fascinating what you see some systems doing, venturing on different things, just make things more efficient, and just a fantastic mix of stories there. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Scott.